Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey Peas, it's Kate here.
Hello, and it's Mandy.
We just wanted to talk to you about something so exciting for you, which might be working with us.
That's right. We are pretty
Zoom friendly.
We are nifty with a PowerPoint is all I have to say. So we have enjoyed the last couple of weeks working with some corporate groups, some community groups, a local council, the libraries. We can speak to your group. We've spoken to carers.
We have. We've spoken to the bomb.
We
have.
Come
on. That's the top of Australia.
Exactly.
The bomb. That's as high as you can go.
So if you want to work with us, get in contact with us at our website, twopeasinapodcast.com.au.
Yep.
And we would love to have a chat about how we can work with your with your group.
Yep. Of course, we charge a little bit of money. That's because actually we are valuable people and we put the money towards the podcast, the booklets, and at the moment during COVID, actually putting food on the table.
Yeah.
So if you would like to work with us, we would love to work with you. Just hit us up.
Yeah.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And today's episode, we're talking to beautiful Crystal, a Pea listener, and I'm going to read a little bit about Crystal. Crystal was searching for a podcast that talked about being a mother with a disability and accidentally found Two Peas in a Podcast. Although it was not what she was looking for, she kept listening to our podcast because we made her laugh a lot, and the stories told by mums on the podcast made Crystal realise that she experiences similar emotions, joys and challenges as other mums, however just from a different point of view, being the mum with a disability and raising able-bodied children. Crystal was born with cerebral palsy and uses a wheelchair. She's in the South Australian Associate Director for Physical Disability Australia, and the 36-year-old has worked for the South Australian Peak Government Social Housing Provider for over 10 years. Crystal has two beautiful daughters, 12-year-old bonus daughter and a 2.5-year-old toddler. Crystal said that raising a 2-year-old toddler is magical but also challenging. Motherhood has intensified her disability, but also her desire to share her experiences and ensure people with a disability and their families feel included, capable and supported regardless of all the rectum comments that come our way.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
This is going to be a good episode.
I know. I'm thrilled to speak to Crystal.
Yeah, I can't wait. The sun is shining.
The sun is shining, Melbourne. So we just need to get that out of our systems.
Annalise, she's sad if we don't talk about the weather, and we love her.
But it lifts our spirits seeing some blue sky.
Yep. So we're week one of week 3000 of remote learning.
Crisis schooling, whatever you want to call it.
Yep. Actually, by the time you hear this, it'll be week two. So we'll be a couple of weeks closer to getting these little kiddies back in the classroom.
Yeah, in Melbourne.
Yep. Anyway. Yep. You may hear thumping today. I'm not sure because the crisis schooling will end at some point, but we'll see. Okay. Mandy, would you like to welcome our beautiful guest?
Yes. Hello, Crystal.
Hi.
Oh, it's lovely to meet you.
Nice to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity. I've been listening to you guys for a long time.
Tell us. Yes. Tell us about the weather in South Australia.
Yep.
I don't want to rub it in, but it's very sunny. It's very nice. There's no restrictions. No. We wear masks at the shopping centre, but other than that, we're good.
Oh, good. Yeah. It's glad for you.
Mount Gambier sometimes gets some things, doesn't it? Like that's on the border, isn't it? Is it?
I think they've got something going on there.
But yes. Somebody snuck into Victoria.
How dare they?
Why would you want to
come here? I mean, normally, yes, but now.
I love Melbourne.
We do too. Thanks for saying that. Well, let's get into this episode. Let's ask our very first question. So, in terms of music, is there any special music you love to get you through the good times or the tricky times?
Well, I'm totally stuck in the 90s.
Yeah,
so that's fine.
I love like upbeat kind of like Destiny's Child, I'm a survivor. So that's the type of music I listen to whenever I'm going into like something quite challenging or a hard meeting. I'm like, I've got this. I'm a survivor.
Yeah, you are. Awesome. We'll add that to the Spotify playlist.
Yes, we will. Somebody will.
Yeah, not me. Yeah.
Okay, and our second question is, did you win any awards at school?
No. No, I didn't even get my pen license.
And it kind of stuck
to me till this day. I feel like an illegal pen user. But I'm a great touch typer. So the whole concept was that I would never really write. But if I learned how to touch type, maybe I would one day get a job. So I'm a great touch typer, but my handwriting doesn't represent my level of intelligence.
Of course. And
really, it should be your the way you communicate license, shouldn't it?
I mean
I get it, but I really don't.
Not anymore.
No.
And there's so many ways. And to see my own daughter struggle with that time when her twin got her pen license and she didn't, it was tough.
Yep.
Are they still doing pen licenses?
Well, they're older now. I don't know, actually.
I don't know.
Get rid of the pen license.
Yes.
They do suck.
Here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so our last question is, tell us why you are a P or in the P tribe.
So I think I'm a pea shoot.
You're a pea shoot, yeah.
I'm an adult pea shoot.
Yes.
Raising two able-bodied non-pea shoot children.
Yes.
Yep.
Which is awesome and magical and challenging at the same time.
Well.
I often joke with my mother that she had it way much easier than me because when I was 2.5 years old, I couldn't walk, I couldn't talk, I couldn't pull over, I couldn't even move, yet my 2.5-year-old right now is jumping around everywhere.
Like a Houdini.
I'm like, Mum, you had it so easy. Why was you so about it?
I will confess there was times when I did think that. Oh, how gorgeous. We're thrilled to have you with us today. I was just thinking about you because you sent us an email and to introduce yourself and tell us about how you found the podcast. And I said to you, maybe you could read a little bit of it to us.
Yeah, because it was a really amazing email. It really got us.
It was super profound to Kate and I.
Yep. So do you want to start off by reading a little bit? And what we thought was we might just talk to the email as well as you.
Okay. So my name is Crystal and I'm a 35-year-old woman who has lots of sex.
We love that.
Great job. And has a two and a half year old beautiful daughter and a 12-year-old bonus stepdaughter. Mm. I also have a partner who's an AB, which we refer to as an able-bodied person. Who I love most of the time. We also have a beautiful stepdaughter, like I said, and I listen to your podcast when I get too tired to listen to crime podcasts.
Yes.
So I can't proclaim that I've listened to them all, but I've listened to a number of them, and I just wanted to briefly provide an outline of my story. So it's really interesting for me to listen to the stories that you and other mothers have told on the podcast. I am a mother and I'm also a woman who has a disability. I was born with cerebral palsy. So I was born 29 weeks, 30. So I was like basically 9 weeks premature. I'm also a woman who has a disability, and I've overcome a lot of preconceived notions of who I would be and what I would achieve. So basically when I was born, my mother and father were told the same old story of she will never walk, she will never talk, she will never have a job, she will never live a normal life. So I listen to your stories on the podcast and I hear a lot of guilt from mothers who are speaking about children who have a disability. It made me reflect on what it is like for my parents and what it is also like for me now as a mother raising two able-bodied children who can already do more physically than what I could do by the time I was 9 months old.
Yes.
I was always really good navigating my disability, sticking up for myself. I was always very determined and very stubborn. Depending on the way you looked at it, I was either stubborn.
Yeah, interesting.
This has helped me get where I am today. I finally was diagnosed with cerebral palsy when I was like 9.5 months old, but my mum always kind of knew there was something not quite right. My dad struggled to accept my diagnosis, and my mum tried to learn everything she could about cerebral palsy. I have two older siblings and one younger sibling. My brother would have to push me to school, and my sister, my older sister, would have to carry my walking frame to school, or vice versa. There was this tree halfway to my school where they would fight over who would switch between pushing my wheelchair or pushing or carrying my frame. I would kind of sit there and be like, okay, so if I was like able-bodied, would I prefer to push the wheelchair or would I prefer to push the walking frame? And I'd kind of say, I don't really care. Either way, they can walk. So whichever one, I would do it.
So what's the age gap between them and you?
So my older sister is 7 years older. My older brother is 2.5 years older. And my younger sister is 5 years older.
Right.
So with my younger sister, we kind of basically learned how to walk together.
And were you the only child that was born prematurely?
Yes.
And do they know why?
No, I don't think in like 1985 they really looked into as to why. So they don't know why. It just kind of happened. It was a very traumatic story for both my parents to tell. And at the time, as a child, I kind of found it annoying or upsetting that it was like a traumatic story.
Yes.
I just kind of wanted to be like my brother or sisters where it was just like, oh, this standard normal birth. That it was like this kind of war story where there was a lot of trauma and a lot of unknowns. And then as I listened to your podcast and then as I gave birth to my own child, I really started to understand what kind of impact that had on my parents for the rest of their lives. Yeah. Whereas before I was just like, shut up, it's okay.
Yeah. But maybe that's also something that parents need to be aware of. And I think all parents do it. Like I've, you know, got friends whose mum will be like, I was in labour for 4 days with you. And but actually as a child you just want to hear about the joy of, and then you were a girl, or then I got to hold you, or, you know, like maybe it's when our children are older and they ask about their birth or if they are going to have children themselves and they want to hear about it, but maybe we transfer a bit too much of that onto our children.
Mm.
Yeah, but I certainly understand that now. But as a child, I was just like, oh, God.
I don't want to hear this again.
Yeah.
I think my girls would agree.
Yes, but I suppose for your mum, having a 29-weeker or whatever,
when
none of her friends have had babies that early and she's in the NICU and she's got other children, that is trauma.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I even gave my mum your book the other day, and she was reading it, and I was like, oh, what do you think of the book? And she had to stop reading it because it was too traumatic for her. And I was like, oh, really? Like, I'm now 35 years old, but like, yeah, I think.
Yeah,
those stories stay locked in. Yeah.
And but she did enjoy hearing her stories, and she did wish that there was an opportunity to kind of meet people that were going through the same experiences as what you guys were back then. There clearly wasn't.
No.
And I think it wasn't so focused on the woman. You were like, well, you've had this baby, take it home, you know, whatever trauma you've had, get over it and get on with life.
Yes.
You know?
And then
because you love your baby so much, you do that, but then there's – yeah, I know lots of people can't read. We've got beautiful friends who can't listen to the podcast. So, yeah,
definitely.
I get that 100%. Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted your story.
No, keep going.
So when I was about six, I finally went to mainstream school. Mm. So prior to that, I went to a place called Elizabeth Spastic Centre.
Yeah.
And then I went to Crippled Children's Association.
Right.
So I just want to bring that to light because I think the concept of taking children to an institution that's called the Spastic Children's Association and the Crippled Children's Association, that's a big deal.
Yes.
I think language and the language evolution that we've experienced over the years is really important.
Yes, it
really
is.
Really, really important. And this is nowhere near as intense, but it always reminds me, and I know Chris Lilly has all sorts of issues around him, but when he did Summer Heights High and the kids that were in Ed Support went to Gumnut Cottage, and clearly Gumnut Cottage, you wouldn't call a high school thing that, but it really highlighted for me how we've used language for so long to sort of other and put people down who we didn't consider, you know, why can't it just be called whatever suburb you lived in, I don't know, Hornsby North School.
Yeah.
Like, you know, no other schools, except unless they're religious, don't normally have any description in the title.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, at the end of the day, it was really hard for my parents to send me to a school that was called the Crippled Children's Association.
Yes,
and it's not called that now, which is great.
Yes.
And I think we need to acknowledge that we've come a long way.
Yes.
We do.
The last years. But I was really excited to finally go to mainstream school.
You can remember?
Yeah, I can. My parents sat me down and they gave me 50 cents to spend at the canteen. And I was just really excited to go to the same school that my brother and sister went to.
Yes,
But I remember a time where I was like on the basketball court, I was trying to keep up with all the other kids and I had a walking frame and I just could not keep up with them. So I was sitting on my walking frame and I was looking at all these other kids so effortlessly moving around me.
Mm.
And it's not like I was naive prior, but it was like it kind of opened up my eyes to the fact that I was different. And when I looked at everybody else, I kind of envisioned that everyone had like little fairies moving their legs and arms around. Mm. And I remember sitting on my walking frame thinking, Crystal, you don't have any fairies helping you move your legs or your arms. Mm. And at the same time, but I was also thinking, okay, it doesn't matter that you don't have any fairies. It just means that you have to work harder in life. I was 6 years old, and that's a pretty profound.
Very. It really is.
Have.
It took my breath away reading it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so, you know, I think from the age of six was when I first realised that it wasn't just the people around me that was different, it was the entire world.
Yes. Yeah, wow.
And then, you know, as you go through primary school and high school, you learn a little bit more in regards to what your disability means, not in regards to, like, your physical restrictions, but in regards to, like, how you're perceived, what you're capable of. So I remember rolling into teachers' classrooms and I could tell which teacher wanted me there and which teacher didn't want me there.
Totally.
It was very evident. And when I was 15 years old, I was doing child studies, and they were giving out these fake babies that had, like, computerized crying and everything. Yep. I think it was, like, to prevent people from
having sex.
And I was really excited about the concept of having a baby, and I picked out a name, and I was, like, going to go baby shopping.
Yep.
And then my home ec teacher at the time, she called me into her office and she said, Crystal, these babies are $900. They're quite expensive. you might drop the baby on its head. You don't have to do the assessment. And at the time I was like, okay, I'm just going to pretend like I'm cool with it.
Yeah. But
at the same time, it was the first time I realized at 15 years old that my physical restrictions and my wheelchair equated to me being a bad mother.
Gosh, Crystal.
Instead of them saying, here's a little baby carrier, you know, that might
we'll make this work for you.
Yeah, we'll make this work for you, you know.
And even to saying these dolls are $900.
Yeah, you're not worthy. You're not worthy of having one.
That just stinks.
Because I know a lot of 15-year-olds and they're all very selfish. I love them. They're selfish and they would happily drop a $900 doll if they still saw something they liked better. They would have no guilt.
No.
So what a thing to say.
How did you get through that time? Like, did all your friends get to participate and you didn't?
Yeah, so all my friends got to participate, and I kind of pretended like I didn't care.
Oh, Crystal.
Did you tell your mum?
No.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
I've always wanted to kind of protect my mum.
Yes.
I've talked to her a lot. She's done a lot of fighting.
Yep.
She didn't need to hear this story. So I just kind of pretended like I didn't care. And then when I got older, I told my friends. But at the time I was just like, I don't have to do the assessment, but I was.
Oh,
yeah.
So it kind of stuck with me.
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, over the years, a lot of stuff has been said to me. There are a lot of stupid people in the world.
Yes, there are.
And there are a lot of people that say ridiculous, funny shit.
Yep.
Yes.
And you kind of have to either kind of go, okay, that's your issue, not my issue. But you still have to have a thick skin.
You do.
So as you're a child, you kind of grow up realizing, all right, you're either going to listen to what people say or you're going to go, okay, that's your problem, that's your issue.
Mm.
I'm going to keep living my life the way that I want to live my life.
Mm. That's a really... I mean, it's an amazing point when you get to that point in your life. Like, I think I was about 40. But also it's a really harsh thing to have to realize it as you're a teenager, because you should just be worrying about is black nail polish cool or is red nail polish cool?
Yes, you know? Exactly.
Yeah. And but my family were very encouraging. They did not treat me any differently than any other child in the family. My parents would adapt chores for me to do. I still had to do everything that my brothers and sisters had to do. And the concept of having siblings and them being the best therapy around you is very true.
It is.
It really, really is. Yeah, it is. It is. And I know for people that have only children, that's fine too.
Yeah.
But it is really awesome for our kids because we think, are we giving them enough? You know, if I just had the twins, would I be a better parent? But turns out I can just rope the older kids into doing a whole lot of it.
Yeah.
But guilt does play a massive part in raising children. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm this fantastic person in a wheelchair that has all the amazing confidence in the world and thinks that I can raise a child without having any kind of guilt or implication, because I think every mother and every parent has guilt, regardless of whether they're able-bodied or whether you're able-bodied, the guilt still interplays. But it wasn't until I understood, when I became a mother, that I understood the amount of guilt that my parents felt. So I would often listen to my dad tell me on multiple occasions that if he could do anything in the world, it would be to take away my cerebral palsy and for him to have it instead. And I would kind of laugh it off and be like, you know, I'm fine, don't worry about it. And then I'd, you know, as I got older, I'd be like, I'm cool, Dad, like you couldn't handle it. Like, you couldn't be as cool as me, just shut up and let me do my thing.
Yeah, I'm interested in that because I've said that if I could do this surgery instead of you, I would, you know. And then, but from your perspective, is that wearing to hear that?
Well, I feel like in a sense I was made to do the surgery.
Yeah.
I was made to be in a wheelchair. And parents think too holistically about disability. Whereas we're just thinking in the moment, in the time.
Yeah.
So I feel like kids with disability and adults with disability are far more equipped to deal with the issues that you guys come across and that you see every day than what you are personally.
Wow. Yeah.
Well,
okay. And I don't mean that in a narcissistic way.
No.
I do mean that in a way of like, this is our life. This is how we were born, and we know it's a part of our life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So, but when I was pregnant, I was ecstatically happy.
Yeah.
But I also wasn't a typical pregnant woman where I was like, I'm going to have this perfect able-bodied child and I'm going to have a perfect able-bodied life. Like, I was too conscious of the amount of disability in the world, and I was too conscious of, you know, the chances of having a child with XYZ disability.
Yeah.
And in a sense, I wish I was strong enough to say that I just want a happy baby, but I just wanted a healthy baby.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because I wanted a child to be able-bodied. I felt like I deserved a child who was able to experience a life different to my life.
Yes.
And I was also in a position where, like, you know, I can't carry coffee and toast at the same time.
Yeah.
And therefore I wanted my child to be able to carry a drink and toast at the same time.
Yep.
And I don't know whether that makes me a worse person or a better person. But I did want a normal baby.
Yes. Yeah. And I think
And that within itself carried guilt because I felt like I was skipping my own kind.
Yes.
See, you just can't escape the bloody guilt.
Yeah.
And you can everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Oh. And yeah. I think all of us, every parent on earth, I maybe, just want their children's life to be as easy as possible. And I know sometimes through hardship I've found out amazing things about myself and I'm quite proud of who I am. But I don't want to watch my children go through hard things.
Suffering. Mm.
Yes. And so I think you've been through hard things. You've had surgeries. You've sat on the edge at school. So, of course, you're like, well, I'd like my child to not have to do that. That's
– yeah, makes complete sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, so I definitely understand the mum guilt. Like I don't think I really understood the true definition of what guilt was until I became a mother. Because that's
sad that it goes hand in hand, isn't it?
It is sad it goes hand in hand. It's not fair.
Yeah, it's not fair.
So, you know, I listen to the stories of the mothers who speak on your podcast and that there's a lot of guilt there and I hear it. And I kind of understand it because I feel guilty that I can't walk and hold my baby's hand at the same time.
Yes.
I feel guilty that I can't wear activewear and show off my toddler in a pram.
Yes.
I feel guilty that I can't take my child to the playground by myself.
Yes.
Yep. Right now.
Yep.
But I will one day.
Yeah. Yep. You will.
I really, and with having Zara, she's 2.5 years old now, I really had to swallow my pride because prior to having Zara, I was kind of like, I'm going to live my mainstream life. I'm going to pretend like disability isn't my entire identity. I'm going to go overseas and I'm going to kiss as many boys as I possibly can. And I'm going to have a mainstream job. And then I achieved all that. Yeah. I went to Amsterdam. I, you know, kissed a lot of boys and I got a good job and I got a good career.
Yeah.
But then you have this baby that's able-bodied and then you're like, oh, shit, like they've got superpowers.
Yes.
And you don't. So, like, by the time she was 9 months old, she was, like, lifting up her hands wanting me to pick her up and I just could not do it.
Yes.
And I guess that's the opposite of Smilestones. Like, what's the opposite of Smilestones?
Yes. What is Crystal. The opposite of that?
That, like, I was sad.
Yeah. Oh, Crystal, that is true.
No, but don't feel sorry for me.
I don't. You're like, awesome. It's just part of your story.
Oh, I don't feel sorry for you. I'm just like, wow, that's a profound thing to say. What is the opposite of Smilestones? Yeah. I'm moved by that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of parents and mothers that are listening to your podcast could totally understand that. It's like they had those experiences where they had that moment in their time where they realized their child is not going to be like every other child. And then beyond that, they realized what that meant.
Yeah, and it's
it punches you in the stomach.
It does. Yep.
It punches you in the stomach. And then how do you move on from that? And how do you go on from that? But at the end of the day, I just have to keep telling myself that I can have the opposite of Smilestones.
Yeah.
And it'd be okay.
Yes.
But I can also have those Smilestones where I manage to change Zara's nappy by myself.
Yes.
I managed to take care of her by myself for 6 hours. Yep. I managed to give her a bath by myself.
Yeah, huge.
And they're Smilestones.
Yes, they are.
They really are. And I reckon there's a lot of Hollywood celebrities who've never done that.
Yes. That is true.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In kind of like a debate, like we are appreciating everything that we can do for our child. Like
yes.
On your end, you're raising a child with a disability and you appreciate everything that they achieve because they're beating the odds. And on the opposite side of the coin, I've got this child who has superpowers. Like in my mind, she literally has superpowers. Mm. Like she can put on her shoes standing up.
Yes.
Like I'm
she
just
can
like,
balance.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yep.
And I have to appreciate that. And I have to acknowledge the fact that there sometimes I have to swallow my pride and it's and sometimes mothers who have children with disabilities have to swallow their pride and accept help.
Yes,
it's true.
I think it, and I think one of the hardest things to do, I don't know whether it's my gender, my age, my birth order, but actually asking for help I find really hard. Like I can boss my work boys around because I'm paying them. But to actually go to someone and say, I really need help to do this because I can't do it. I'm like, even when the twins were little, I just wanted to prove that I could do it all. And you can't. So it's really hard. I don't know why, because if someone asks me for help, I feel such joy. I'm like, yes,
me too.
Great, I'll help you. So I think that's how most people feel. And yet I don't know whether we're trying to be better than, you know, because women have been put down for so long, or I just don't know why, but I'm getting better. But it's hard to ask for help. And if other people are doing it better, I think you're like, well, how come they're all coping and I'm not? Then it's really hard to ask for help.
Yeah. But I know at the end of the day, as confident as I am, as able-bodied and mainstream as what I want to be perceived, I can't do it alone.
No,
and I don't think mothers with children with disabilities should have to do it alone.
Yeah.
And I think it is stronger and it is harder to kind of swallow your pride.
Yep.
And say, I need help.
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely.
Yep.
I love NDIS. It's changed my world.
Yep.
But I don't like having the support worker.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Every day.
I appreciate it.
Yes.
I need it.
Yeah.
But I wish I could do it myself.
Yes.
Sometimes, like, I go to the shopping centre with Zara and I have to have my support worker there because she's a runner.
Yeah.
Yes, I had a couple of
them. Very, very good at it.
Yes.
And
it's dangerous.
I can't run after her. So I need to have my support person there. But there's a point where I go to the supermarket and I go down the chocolate aisle and I know Zara won't run away from me when I'm in the chocolate aisle.
Yeah.
So at that point in time, I just pretend like my support worker isn't
not there.
So I can have that experience with my child.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like I'm not going to prevent Zara or my stepdaughter from experiencing things because of my pride. And I don't think mothers out there should prevent certain things from happening in their children's life because they feel the guilt the pressure and the fact that they have to achieve things.
Wow.
They don't. The best thing that my parents did was they opened up my world.
Yes, right. I was going to ask, what can we learn from them?
Yep.
They opened up my world. So I had really shit teachers and I had really good teachers.
Yeah.
And I had this one teacher, in fact, called Mrs. Adams, and I could not spell. I could not read. I could not write. And I was like 10 years old. And I recently read an occupational therapy report of me at that age.
Wow.
And it basically said below average.
Yeah.
In every element. But Mrs. Adams was the person who could see that I couldn't read and I couldn't write, but I was intelligent.
Yes.
There's a difference. Like I couldn't.
Big difference.
Yeah, there's a big difference. And from that moment, having someone and having teachers and having managers and leaders that actually saw what you were thinking and how you were thinking as opposed to what you were writing.
Yes.
How you were writing it, it makes a profound difference.
There's a lot to hear from that, Peaches.
There really, really is a lot to hear from that. Really.
Yeah. Really and workplaces.
Yeah,
and
workplaces.
And I've had exceptional teachers and I've had exceptional managers.
Yep.
And they are the people that have made me successful in life.
Yep.
And that goes for everybody.
Yep.
Doesn't it? You know, and I think when you think back over your school, there's only a few that stand out to you and you go, wow, they saw me for who I was or said you could do this. And I know I'm not saying anything about teachers because they teach thousands and thousands of kids. But when you find that one, it's just,
magic.
It's a life changer.
She's definitely a life changer. She's definitely changed my life.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if she will listen to this.
She will. I still catch up with her to this.
Mrs. Adams. Good,
Mrs. Adams, well done, OG Peacher.
Yes.
And I kind of feel sorry for her in a way because before she met me, she like was like, oh, I'm going to meet this child with cerebral palsy. And then she read all the books and then she met me. And then she was like, oh, these books don't mean anything.
Yes.
I have to deal with the child in front of me.
Yeah,
that is so true.
But, you know, she worked with me and I worked with her and I gave her, I was a very, very, very cheeky child. Like, you put me in front of a physiotherapist, I would make them work.
Yeah.
You know, and I was talking to my physiotherapist the other day and the difference between us is that, like, I've gone through physiotherapy since I was 2 years old.
Yep.
So, essentially, I know my body as much as what a professional
athlete
knows.
Yep.
So I can boss them around. I can tell them what I want and I can tell them what I need. And now because of the NDIS, they kind of have to listen to you.
Yeah, they do. Exactly. Yeah, because they want your business.
Exactly. And then prior to that, like I just had these physiotherapists that were kind of like non-engaging.
Yep.
Boring.
Yep.
You know, and I know NDIS has many flaws. Like I'm a social worker. I'm not immune to the understanding of the fact that it needs to be built on, but the whole concept behind it is really good.
Yeah, you have choice.
Oh, it really is. And I think I know a lot of our AmeriPs and, you know, they just can't even comprehend the NDIS and how, yes, it's flawed, but, you know, in our country we have free healthcare and we have this amazing insurance scheme.
Yep.
Is there more to the letter?
Yep, I can't remember.
I can't remember either. Okay. Okay, so if I could leave you with anything from a child who grew up with a disability and from a woman who is now a mother.
Yes.
I can guarantee you that the worry, pain, and guilt you feel for your child or children is worse for you than what it is for your child.
That really stood out to me.
It does not interplay the same way. So whilst my parents were worried about whether I would live a normal life, whether I would live independently, whether I would have a job, whether I would have someone that loved me, all I was worried about was whether I could make a perfect footprint in the sand.
Yes.
That's all I was worried about.
Oh, Crystal.
That is,
what a lesson to us all.
Mm.
So you need to stop thinking so much about the future.
Oh.
And just live in the now.
Mm. Oh, goodness.
So you got us.
You got us.
Just when we bloody read it and then you got us again.
Because I don't remember the times my parents did not take me to physiotherapy. I don't remember the times that they didn't do what they were supposed to do from a disability perspective. But I remember the times where I was able to wear these pretty shoes without my AFOs.
Yes.
I remember the time. Yeah, I remember the time where I was able to sleep on the top bunk bed, even though my parents were fucking shit scared. But I was
me too. Shoved her up there.
Yeah, they still let me.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's what they remember.
Yeah, that is so true.
Oh, Crystal, goodness me.
Oh, we're so glad you came and spoke to us today.
Oh, thank you.
Even if we mucked you around with Zoom and Zencaster.
But, you know, I don't know what my girls are going to remember about me either. I don't know. Like, I remember a point with my stepdaughter. I took her to the park when she was about 10 and I made this great picnic and she just turned around and said to me, "Crystal, you're really boring to go to the park with."
Oh, man.
Because I am. Like, I'm not going on the equipment.
Kids are so fucking brutal.
The truth tellers.
Oh, my God. Brutal.
You know, a couple of years later, I told her the same story and she's like, "Oh, well, Crystal, like, mums don't take their kids to the playground."
Oh.
So at least she took me to the
playground. Goodness.
So, you know, I don't know what my girls are going to think about having a mother with a disability.
Yeah.
But I know I'm going to try my hardest. And I know at the end of the day, I can't let my guilt control how I act.
No.
The parents listening out there cannot let their guilt control how they parent.
No. It's hard.
It is hard.
Yeah.
It's really, but, you know, I'm swallowing my pride in accepting help. You guys have to swallow your pride.
Yeah.
Yep.
And let go of the guilt.
Yeah. Yep. I think this is a call to arms.
I think it is.
Yep.
Yep. And, you know, there's a lot of imperfect parents and women and, you know, people are always like, "Oh, they take their kids to the playground and then they go on their phone or then they chat and they're not playing with them." So I think everyone's kid thinks they're quite boring. That's the truth. And, you know, when they're 15, they'll really tell you boring you are.
Yeah.
And,
you know. But now as an adult, isn't it our parents' characters that we just love or great on us or, you know, like it's – I mean, it's the unconditional love. That's
all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel guilty because I broke my leg when I was 18 and I've always had a slight limp and so I've never been like massively into running and I'm overweight. And I've always felt like, oh, there are other mums that are so much better at all that active stuff than me, you know, and my boys are really active. And then I think I told this story on the podcast. We were up at the snow. And these people were coming into our apartment and I said to Buzz and Woody, "Do you want to come up?" They didn't know them. "Do you want to come up and meet these people?" And Woody said, "No, I know those sort of people, women in the leggings with the long straight hair. I don't want to meet them." And I was like, "Fuck yeah." But even though that's what I think I should be, he was like, "I don't want to meet them."
Yeah.
So I was like, there you go. Yeah. We're all a little tiny bit messed up.
Yep. Crystal, have we? Yeah. I mean, we could talk to you for hours.
Yeah, we have. You could have your own podcast.
You could, and please go for it.
I'm too busy.
Yeah, well, that's right. Do you want to tell us just a little bit about your work and what you're doing right now in your role?
So I'm a social worker, so I predominantly work with people that are homeless and experiencing domestic violence.
Yep.
And I guess for me, that has also taught me that even though I have a physical disability and it is so clearly obvious that there are many people, able-bodied people out there that are really, really struggling.
Yes.
Beyond what I'm struggling with. And, you know, I may not go to the Paralympics and I may not be an inspirational speaker, but I go out there and I meet clients and they're kind of taken back by the fact that I'm in a wheelchair and they kind of have to reset what they're thinking. But in my own small ways, I'm kind of changing the way that people think about disability.
Yes, you are.
From a small scale perspective, like,
well, from little things, big things grow. I think, you know, there is the amazing Dylan Allcott, who we all love, and, you know, he's funny and amazing, and but most of us are not Dylan Allcott, whether we're able-bodied or not.
We're just plodding along.
So little changes, I think, are much more profound because, yes, representation's really important, but to have someone you love or a friend or something doing something, I think, is so much more important.
And
And I think in the disability world, you're either like extraordinary, doing amazing things, or you're down low, where you're someone who should feel, you know, there should be an element of where you feel sorry for them, and they're vulnerable and they're at risk. But there are people in the middle.
Yes. Let's go for the mediocre disabled people.
Yes.
Yes. I am the mediocre disabled person in my everyday life.
Yes.
We really have to get mediocre badges. I am going to look into mediocre badges. We can all happily wear them.
Yeah.
Have you ever won an award? No, but I've got this mediocre pin.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Well, Crystal, is there anything you want to say that we have missed?
No, just thank you so much for the opportunity. And I know there are many mothers out there trying to be incredible parents, and you don't have to be incredible.
Yes, that's true.
You just have to be there.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't have to be this incredible parent wearing her activewear, showing off her child.
No.
I just have to be there.
Yes.
And I'm there. And you guys are there.
Yes.
So give yourselves a break.
Oh, Crystal.
Beautiful.
Doing great.
Oh.
Can't finish on anything better.
I know. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, Mandy, that's in the top 10 episodes.
Oh, hands down.
Yep.
Oh,
when we have the hottest 100 of the decade.
Of the podcast rankings.
The podcast rankings of ours, our own.
I am really keen to hear what the P Tribe think. So, send us your snap peas about what you thought about listening to Crystal.
Mm. She's just an awesome human. Yeah. And, her letter was unbelievable.
Yes.
And then the explanation of it even more so. So she...
And she did say when we finished the Zoom, which was a shame, she said that surgery trapped her, really got her. And I was like, oh, boy, yeah.
Yes.
So I'm sorry we didn't get to talk about that with her. That would have been good to unpack that too.
Yeah. But she's incredible.
Yeah, and I'm so thrilled to have met her. I just want to get to South Australia and see her. I want to get around Australia and see all the peas.
I
really do.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, just save up your money because our tickets are normally something as ridiculous as $30 or $40, and we'll come and see you all one day.
Yeah, we will. So, okay, what made you cry today?
All right.
Or so this week, sorry.
This week, what made me cry? I'm emotional at the moment because I suppose our numbers are going up in Victoria, but the lockdown is ending, and I'm looking to New South Wales and going, well, once they got to 50% double vaxxed, their numbers started to drop. We're 55 or 53, I don't know, so we're hoping that's going to happen to us. But you know when sometimes at the end it's harder.
Yeah.
In some ways, schooling's becoming easier because I'm just, that's fine. But I'm just really missing my friends.
Yes.
And I think it's as the days get longer.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, I could be sitting at a cafe having a coffee with a friend or I could get down Brunswick Street.
Yeah.
And we can't even go to the city even if we're not with our friends. We're still on a 15K, which is, I think, 5Ks out of my range for the city. So, that's made me emotional. But what made me cry It was actually last week in Humans of New York. And yes, I will ask this girl to come on the podcast. She probably won't even answer. I can't even imagine how full her DMs are on her Instagram.
That was incredible.
I thought I'm just going to give it a break for a couple of weeks. But she was on Humans of New York and she does these beautiful cartoons. Mm. I put one of them on our Insta. We'll tag it in the show notes. But she wrote this poem about her child. And it says, "Of all the babies that are born, it had to be you. Of all the stars that light up the sky, it had to be these. Mm. Of all the homes you could have come back to, it had to be ours. Oh. Of all the little hands we could be holding, it had to be yours. Of all the tiny toes we could be tickling, it had to be these. Of all the sweet faces we could be kissing, it had to be yours.
Yeah.
Of all the beating hearts we could be holding close, it had to be yours. Of all the families that could have been, it had to be ours. Oh. For every one of our wishes, for every bump along the way. Now that you're here, we've known all along it had to be you." And her story's, it's amazing. Like her, she was given a really, really sad prognosis. Mm. And and she just put this beautiful photo up of, this is when my daughter was 6 months old and I went to pick apples and we didn't know if she would ever be able to do anything physically, you know. They were told all these things and then 3 years later, whatever, there's a little girl standing there with an apple bucket and, it's just beautiful. If you don't follow Humans in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a roller coaster of a.
Yeah, it is a roller coaster.
It really, really is. But yeah, that, I think that's my favourite one.
Oh. Mm.
All right. What about you?
Well, I cried because we had the funeral today of my friend Debbie, who died, and I spoke about that last week, I think. Mm. I just thought this. Ugh. I've had a lot of Zoom funerals.
Yes,
I feel
too
like
many.
I've had a lot.
Yep.
And I was just sitting there, but my beautiful friend Kim dropped around a bunch of flowers and a candle for three of my friends.
Such a beautiful idea, Kim.
Oh, Kim.
Yes.
She is thoughtful.
Yes.
With a capital T.
Yep.
And so
remember, the shops aren't even open.
No.
So hard to get candles, and she's really thought about
this. It was funny because she thought the candles were small, but when she got them, they were really massive.
There's some great lockdown purchases.
Yeah. Yep. So we decided for the four of us to be on a Zoom to watch the funeral.
Yes, yes.
So we lit the candle, each of us, and we had the flowers.
Beautiful.
And she bought different colour flowers for each of us,
yes,
which was lovely.
Yep.
And, I just cried to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful Chris there. She did an awesome job.
I bet she did.
And her family, her parents, Debbie's parents, brother, and her beautiful friends.
Yep.
And, I mean, we laughed. It was, funny stuff in funerals too.
Yeah.
But I did cry and cry and cry.
Oh, yeah. And you can't be there. You should be there.
I just think, particularly for someone who was a singer in a chorus, we should have been there to sing her out.
Yes, you should have.
It's a loss.
And hug her family.
Yes, a loss for everyone
that is
going through virtual funerals.
And I know
still.
We've all done it, but it's a big loss.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. So what made a difference in my life this week? I've got two things. The first, I did share on our Insta, and I will share it again when this episode comes out, but a beautiful pea shoot called Amelia has started making bickies.
Yes.
And she's got her own business, Amelia's Cookie Co.
Yep.
And she sent us Melting Moments, chocolate nuts.
Like Smarties.
Yeah, Dottie Bickies.
Yep.
I think that was it.
Yep.
Yep. So there was three beautiful packets all packaged up. Some went home to the Hose family and some stayed here. And
I had a yo-yo for morning tea, actually.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Really beautiful biscuits.
Beautiful.
I've actually gone and ordered more.
Yes.
So, and one of my work boys ate one and he said, tell her that they were great. I was like, okay. I said, well, you order some.
Yes.
So, it's just awesome. It's her own business and they're really nice biscuits. So that made a difference. And the other thing was, for the last 2 or 3 years, I think, I've been getting a monthly cheese delivery from a place called Cheese Therapy.
Ooh,
and
what a great name.
It's a great name.
Yeah.
You can send them to friends or you can have an annual subscription.
Some Cheese Therapy.
Yeah. It comes in a beautiful black cardboard box, and it has a description of all the cheeses. And so I got on early. I am lactose intolerant and I do love cheese and I do pay the price. So you know what? I like to take risks. And so over the last 2 years, I used to do a cheese board on a Friday night. Friends would pop in. My kids' partners would come over.
The ultimate cheese platter.
Yep. I really love making them. And I just no one can come. Yeah. And it's been so on and off. Yeah. And then when we get out of lockdown, I feel bad asking people to just pop in because they've prioritized, you know, I haven't seen so-and-so for 6 months and I need to. And so it's what's gone is all the casual impromptu things because everyone's so busy catching up, which I get. I haven't properly worked for 2 years, even though ScoMo's been helping me out. And so I emailed them a month ago and I said, I'm really sorry, but I'm not earning enough. I can't have anyone over. I'm really sad, but I just have to stop my cheese therapy, you know. And anyway, then last week on Thursday, on the doorstep, there's the cheese therapy. I was like, oh, no, because we had a conversation back and forth. I was like, they didn't cancel it. But they did. And they sent me these two beautiful boxes to say thank you for supporting our business. Thanks for being an original cheese therapy member.
Okay.
You know, we'll welcome you back, but we totally understand you've been going through a hard time. And they sent the most beautiful, like, you know, like you have with cheese, like chutney and paste. Really good. So that just made such a difference because I cancelled on them. I took money away from them and then they gave me a gift.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's my make a difference.
Oh, well done,
Chi. What about you?
Food is what we're talking about this week. It's all we've got left. It was my birthday last week.
Yes.
So second lockdown birthday.
Yep.
Which doesn't really matter. You know, I was turning 45, but I felt like 45.
Middle age, thank
God. I finally hit middle age, right. Anyway, I was spoiled by gifts. Thank you, Kate. Send me some beautiful cupcakes, which the girls just went bananas for. But also what I did the week to Nellie had put in the hangout about like food preparation things like HelloFresh and stuff. And somebody talked about the dinner ladies and I had a look on their website and I was like, oh, they look good for me because putting together meals I find stressful. So I went on it for my birthday. I bought myself a few meals so I didn't have to cook.
Amazing.
I'm so happy.
I've seen Snapchat videos of them. They're very impressive.
I'm so happy.
I think this is the most brilliant idea ever.
When that box came and then it's ethical and it's sustainable, like the stuff that's padded in it goes into your compost.
Yes.
Anyway, Molly did cry. She's going to listen to this because she's listening all the time now. For a little while about these meals, she didn't want them.
Yeah, fair enough. Something new. I get it, Molly.
I'll say well done.
Yep.
My little poppet, she has eaten them and I'm very proud of it. And I just kept saying, this is my birthday present that I don't have to cook. You just put them into the oven. And you know how everyone finishes and then they just take their plate and then they just walk away?
Yes.
And then you think, it took me hours to make that.
I always think that.
Now I'm like, that didn't take me hours.
And also, I don't have to wash the pots.
I know. I just threw it out.
Oh, that must be what it's like being an unsupportive man.
It must be. So I just want to say thank you, dinner ladies. But Molly was very worried. She said it a few times. What if they put snot in it?
Yes, they won't though.
I think we've got less chance of dinner ladies putting snot in your food than your mum.
Yeah, I think so.
So that is not my laugh, but she did say it quite a few. She's worried.
Well, yeah, I get that. Like, because you don't know where it's been made.
No.
Yeah.
But anyway, bravely she did it. And I've just, I don't know. I just don't want to go to Aldi and Coles. It takes me like 2 hours. And just for my birthday, I don't want to do that.
Every time they have those like things on Facebook, if you could choose one of these, like a personal trainer.
Someone cook.
A personal chef. Oh.
Imagine.
So
that's been my week and I don't know. I think
you paid for it yourself.
I paid for it
myself. You made your own difference.
And I made my own difference for my birthday because that's what I'm doing from now on.
Yep.
So, and so far, no snot.
No snot. Good. Oh, it's all been cooked out.
Anyway, then I went back to look online. They were on, what's it called, the TV show where you've got a pitch your...
Oh, were they? Shark Tank.
Shark Tank.
Oh. Yeah.
So that was a couple of years ago.
Oh, so probably everyone's heard of them. But hi, welcome, Kate and Mandy.
So Janine partnered with them.
Oh, did she?
And, so, they opened up in Melbourne. So, anyway, I'm going to do it again. I might not be able to afford, like, every night, but I reckon I could do a couple.
Well, I actually went on last night and ordered a couple.
Yes.
And then, like, this scholarships.
Is amazing meals.
Living out of home for because she couldn't travel and blah, blah. Anyway, she's got herself a job. I won't go into too much of it because you might be able to find her. But she's having this semester off and then back at uni next at the start of the year and she has to move back home with us. Dun-dun. they will have arrived by the time this episode comes out. So, I've ordered her some as a surprise.
Awesome.
Because she's of course, my daughter, awesome, cooks every night for the house and, you know, blah, blah. But she's tired too. Yeah. And I was like, this is a cute surprise.
It's
and
a
like,
cute surprise.
We can't go to her apartment or, you know, bloody COVID. So you anyway, can yeah.
So bless her that way.
Yeah, and you can order small meals.
I know.
Yeah, so I
shout out to the chicken and vegetable pie. It was yum.
Was it? Yeah. I did order her that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, really yummy.
Okay, yeah, good. All right. So this week, what made me laugh? Look, I have laughed a lot because I'm back at work and I just forgot how
funny.
So, so funny. They're very, very, very funny, the work boys. one of them, David, scares me every day, takes a Snapchat and sends it to everyone. So that's great. He said his goal is to have wee running down my leg. I said, well, that's achievable. If I'm busting and you scare me, it's coming true.
Oh, my God.
You need a better goal than that, mate.
Yeah.
anyway, but two things that made me laugh. One was that we got the dog groomed, and I know it's not funny to anybody else, but they don't look like your dog when they come back. Number one daughter, you know, like it's mobile grooming, and so she goes, I just walked straight past her. Who is this dog?
Who is this dog?
Anyway, she obviously is our dog because she comes over to us, but she just doesn't look like our dog.
It's just for ages you're like, oh, who are you?
I know because we have two dogs. Well, we've got three because the sound engineer, bam, bam, he's got a little, he's got an absolutely bonkers dog. I'm not going to lie.
We're not.
And we got a spoodle during lockdown. So, and we have an older spoodle, but she hasn't been groomed yet, so I've only seen that puppy fur.
So shaggy.
So shaggy. She was like a Muppet. And now, anyway, we're in awe, and today she was chasing her tail during science because she could really see it. And the boys and I were just hysterically laughing, sending Snapchats to people and not paying any attention to science.
Yep.
And the other thing that's made me laugh is today I was trying to get the boys to log on at the beginning of the class, and so then they log on and then they go and sit on the couch. And I'm like, no, you have to actually watch it. And we're having all the back and forth. Teachers, this is what's actually happening while you're talking.
Yeah, totally.
Thank goodness this teacher was like, I'm going to record this. I'm like, yes, please. but then Buzz just looked at me and he said, I actually cannot comprehend why you're so concerned with my schoolwork. I just laughed. Just makes no sense to him. Why do I care?
Why do you care? And I'm like, so much about his school?
It's obviously taken him 2 years of remote learning to finally go, why do you care? Anyway, that made me laugh. What
so
about you,
funny.
Maddie?
I've got two things.
Yep.
One is Miss Tan and I have been watching Survivor, the season one, Australian Survivor.
Yep.
Just because she enjoyed it so much. Anyway, so we've been watching it fresh from the start.
Yep.
Anyway, she's quite enamored by Lee Castledine. If anyone knows him, he came second in the first series. Anyway, so I said, why don't we send him a little message on Instagram? And just because she wrote in her work yesterday, she had to use the word reliable.
Aww.
And she wrote, in season one Survivor, Lee was reliable.
So, which is always the attribute you want.
I just thought that teacher is going to think, what the heck is going on?
Oh, I'd love to see all the work from it at the moment.
Oh, hilarious. Yep. Anyway, so I texted it to him. Anyway, he sent back a big thumbs up to her and said, thank you so much. You've made my day.
Oh.
So she has this big smile on her face and she walks past and she goes, I've got a pep in my stride. Pep in my stride. I was like, I think it's pep in your step, but
it'll work.
It doesn't matter. I'm happy to see a pep in your stride.
Yes.
And then this morning I'm in bed. Yep. I wear a thermal when I'm cold. So I'm in a white thermal.
It's been very cold.
Cold, right?
Yep.
Not pretty. Molly comes in. She just sits, like, Darren's gone. I'm just lying in bed there in my ugly thermal. And she goes, oh, Mum, you're so hot. I can see why Dad fell in love with you. Sleep. I said, what? What are you talking about?
Did she mean you're physically warm and I find that attractive?
It was just so funny.
Oh, so cute.
Oh, she's so funny. Oh. Anyway, she's listening. She's a number one fan.
Number one fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She goes, go, make more.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we'll keep doing it, Molly.
Oh, dear. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you to everyone who's going to the merch store and
buying
our
thanks
merch.
Thanks for buying our books.
Thanks for buying our books. Every time I get a little email that says new order, I'm so happy.
Yeah,
thank you. Australia Post is having a hassle at the moment. I think everyone in Australia knows that. If you're overseas, we're sorry because our
Don't fall for any scam emails either.
No, because don't open anything that says,
and
oh, did you?
Yes, oh, you cannot believe it. I but can't. It said capital A, little U, capital S, little T. And I was like, oh, that's our parcel we're waiting for. It's another our generation doll. And it said, you have to pay $3.30. So I did. I'm an idiot. I know. So I had to call the bank and say, can you cancel the card?
I
and
can't the guy, even.
Danny Hoso's nose. So the guy, I go, I know I'm an idiot. And the guy goes, look, don't beat yourself up, Amanda. He goes, but I'm just going to look at. And so is this $3.30 from like golddiggers.com.au? I was like, yes, I'm an idiot.
All right.
No, I'm admitting it to the world. Don't
do it. If you get a phone call and they say they're from the ATO or the National Crime Lab, just hang up, all right, because they're fake. One of my friend's mums spent like $15,000.
Oh.
Because they ring you and say,
I know,
you need to send us See? An Apple gift card, and she did.
I know.
And she sent so many. So nobody will ring you.
No.
That's my thing. And Australia Post doesn't ask for money.
They do not ever.
Never,
and
ever.
So I'm an idiot. Anyway, got that.
Anyway, Kick. That's hilarious. Sorry.
No, okay.
You completely derailed me.
I'm sorry. Well, I had the one that ring the bank and admit that.
Yeah, well, they're not getting that $3.
I know they're not.
Oh, bastards.
Anyway, that's
absolutely.
My...
What's your freaking... Anyway, sorry.
Okay, all right, enough.
And, yes, so rate and review.
Thank you.
Thanks for buying our book because we don't have a big platform. I know you think we do because you're lovely and you listen. But if you don't listen and half the country's in lockdown, we don't have any way of promoting our book. So it means a lot to
thank
us when you.
You
buy them. Thank you, thank you, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.